Good morning and welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to Just Us Talks with Tisha. We have an incredible show for you this morning. We are talking about how to cope with divorce. And I just want to say welcome, everybody, to the new year. I'm sure people have different plans and resolutions and goals, whatever you want to call them. This is a time of the year where we decide that we're going to be different. And so in being different, we're going to talk today about, we're going to continue our discussions from last year where we were talking about self-care and talking today about how to cope with divorce. And so we have a guest show host this morning, licensed professional counselor Carrie Winchell, who is joining us. And we are going to connect Carrie now. Good morning. Are you on? Caller?
Morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
On. Yes, I can hear you just fine. You are on with Just Us Talks with Tisha. Thank you so much, Counselor Winchell, for joining us today to talk to our listeners about how to cope with divorce. And I gave a tiny, tiny introduction. So if you want to give the callers an introduction about what it is that you do and how it is that you help people, families, whatever the case may be, in how to cope with divorce, if you want to go ahead and do that.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. My name is Carrie Winchell. I am a licensed professional counselor. I practice in the state of Georgia. I'm also nationally certified. And I am a certified natural health and holistic practitioner as well. I work with teenagers and adults. I primarily do individual and couples counseling, couples premarital, marital, as it relates to the family. I do work with a lot of individuals who are somewhere on the divorce spectrum, whether that's, you know, clients who are pre-contemplative about divorce, who are contemplating it, clients who have already started the divorce process. And I also work with clients who are post-divorce, you know, adjusting to life after divorce. So that's a little bit about me and clients who I do work with who are going through the divorce process.
Okay. Well, that sounds like, I guess, run the gamut of people that you serve that are in, like you stated, in different phases, phases of divorce. And now, how long is it that you've been practicing as a professional counselor?
For about 10 years now. This is 2017,
okay.
maybe going on 11, but about 10 to 11 years now. Yeah.
Okay. Now, as you know, should I call you Counselor Winchell or
you can call me
like
Carrie? Just call me Carrie.
Okay.
Just call me Carrie. That's yeah.
Okay. Okay. So Carrie, my practice deals with various legal issues, including family law, which entails people who are going through divorces or want to file for divorce. I help people when it comes to child custody and child support matters and things like that. So my practice is, you know, primarily family law centered. And so I have a lot of that come to me. And so my concern is, how is it? Let me rephrase that. Some of the things that people go through in divorce, I mean, obviously it varies from family to family, but what I'd like to know is when people come to you, what would you say is one of the primary reasons people seek counseling when they're in the divorce process, wherever they may be on the spectrum?
Right. So let me start by saying this. Divorce can be one of the most stressful things. It's stressful even if you are the one who initiated the divorce, you know, if you're the one leaving or if you're the one being left, whatever the situation is, it's very stressful. And as we know, stress can impact us in several negative ways. You know, health concerns, it can cause you, it can lead to other emotional concerns like depression. It can cause you to gain weight, lose weight. It disrupts your sleep, can cause you to isolate from relationships. But a lot of times people are coming because they're so overwhelmed by the process. And I mentioned, I deal with people who are contemplating, and most of the time for people who are contemplating divorce, you know, some of the things that are stressful for them is figuring out what's going to happen with my income, what's going to happen with my children, you know, how do I explain this to them? I going to have somewhere to live? And so things like that, people don't have immediate solutions for. And so for them, a contemplative stage can be maybe 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, you know, just because those solutions aren't immediate yet. And meanwhile, they're in a state of anxiety for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, you know, and it can be very tough, you know, the different legal decisions that will come out of, you know, going through the divorce process. So it can be one of the most stressful things. I primarily get people who are overwhelmed to begin with, just with the whole process. You know, people are also concerned about what their family members are going to think. How would they react?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how will they react to the decision to change the family dynamic? So there's that aspect as well. A lot of times, too, in the contemplative stage, as well as people who are post-divorce, I get a lot of clients who are dealing with feelings of shame and guilt, you know, because they may feel at blame, you know, for quote unquote breaking up my family, you know, changing the family dynamic.
So let me ask you a question. So you mentioned a couple of times about the stigma, I guess, of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you come across a lot, where families are really concerned about what their other family members are going to think?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times that's a big part of the anxiety, because, you know, in some cultures and in certain societies, you know, divorce is a taboo. I think it's getting more and more it's getting more and more common to, you know, go through the divorce process now, but there's still some level of stigma surrounding a divorce, especially, I think sometimes for some women that I see, because in some ways they've taken on the role of sustaining the family, being the person to sustain the family, and they take it as a failure, on, you know, like a personal failure, I guess, when that dynamic is changed, or, you know, when that whole setup is considered broken, they see it as a personal failure, which leads to other, you know, emotional concerns like depression. So,
yeah, that's a very interesting point, though, because, you know, I obviously, you know, in dealing with my practice, you know, I have seen women that are the breadwinner, and so I never really thought about that. So that's a really good point. That people go through that, where, you know, now you're right, having to figure out what does this new paradigm look like now that the primary breadwinner is leaving the family, even though most of the time, if the primary breadwinner is the woman, and obviously this is a general statement, this is not applicable in every situation, you know, if the woman is leaving and she is the primary breadwinner, she's also the one that's going to generally have custody of the children. Because that's usually just how it works out. But that's a really good point, because, you know, obviously from a legal perspective, it's a bit different. You know, as a lawyer, I don't necessarily deal with all of the emotions that people feel. I deal with the legalities of the situation. And so I'm glad to have you on the show to really help listeners to understand some of the things that people, to validate some of the things that people experience as they go through divorce, specifically because you stated that there is in some cultures a stigma, or even, you know, in our culture here in the United States, even though, you know, it's not necessarily all the time a stigma, but you're right. I do have people that are concerned about, you know, just changing the family dynamic. Now, let me ask you, for those who are in the contemplative state, what would you say is the best advice you can give to someone who's thinking about filing for divorce?
Okay, so I never tell my clients to leave or stay, you know. I work with them to help them to increase their own insight, their own self-awareness about what's happening, about their situation, looking at pros and cons, what's working, what's not working, looking at how the impact of a decision to stay or a decision to go, how that might impact them, how it might impact others. So most of the time in pre-contemplation, it's me working with my clients to help them to increase their own insight, you know, empowering them with their own decision-making skills. Because at the end of the day, I'm not the one in the marriage. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here to support the client. The client is the one in the marriage. And ultimately, this person knows more about what's happening with their situation than I do. They just might not be presently aware, you know, of it, or presently not able to make sense of what's happening. So in a contemplative stage, that for me, that's a lot of what I do.
Okay. And I think that's very helpful, because, you know, you do have a lot of people who don't have a strong support system. And so to have someone that is, like you said, not in the marriage, that they can listen to and talk to about their situation without the feelings that they may be have, that they may have, you know, internally or externally, about whatever stigmas there may be about changing the family dynamic. What do you think clients that are or have gone through a divorce, what do you think emotionally are some of the things that they can expect? Like, say, for instance, someone, you know, has just finished the divorce process. The divorce is now final. What do you think are some of the things that they can expect to experience?
It's, you know, there's going to be, whenever you lose something, anything, whether it's the death of someone, maybe a job that you really loved, you know, maybe you lost income. Whenever you lose anything, there's some type of grief that happens. So, you know, and sometimes when people, the divorce being final itself doesn't mean that the grief process just started. You know, I think that sometimes some people, the marriage has ended already, you know, but they're still there. And they're grieving while they're already there. Because sometimes for some people, people know what, I want to say possibly at least a year before divorce, that word even comes up. Sometimes people know already that far in advance that they don't want the situation, you know, and then there are times when people are kind of blindsided, you know, they're thinking they're in a happy relationship and here comes the partner saying, I'm not happy, this is not me. And it's a big surprise, you know, it's a shock. And so there is grief, the grief process that's already happening before divorce is finalized. And people have to take time with that process. You know, that's something that you have to allow yourself to feel so that you can move from point A to point B. And during this time, you know, as we know, anger, issues with anger come up. And so a divorce being final doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have feelings that you suddenly are going to know how feelings that you've never felt before. But for some people, you can, because even who people who initiate the divorce, and let's say they were they perceived the situation as a living hell, and
mm-hmm.
now it's final. They're still, you know, I get a lot of times where people might feel happy or feel relieved, but there's some sadness still because something just officially ended, you know, and it's a profound thing because, again, in society, the family is perceived as a building block of society in a lot of ways. And I think that when you put that final stamp on those papers, you know, in some
mm-hmm.
ways people feel like they have failed. And it's okay to feel that way, you know, but it's not okay to stay in that feeling though, you know, because the truth is life does go on, you know. You do have to move on, and I think people can expect post-divorce to work on embracing being in that new chapter of their life, you know, knowing that they may have freedoms now that they didn't have before. And it's, you know, I think personally that going through a divorce, again, whether you're the one leaving or you're the one being left, it's a great opportunity for self-discovery or rediscovery. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a great opportunity to look at things, because I personally think that two people contribute, you know, maybe one person more, but, you know, two people play a role, you know, and there's always things that you can look back at and look at your responsibility or things that you can grow from. So I think that while it's so stressful and overwhelming, it's also a great opportunity for self-growth. You know, so post-divorce, I usually encourage my clients to continue, that's the self-care, which I can talk a little bit more about, and journey of, you know, the journey that they started during the separation process or the before the finalization of the divorce of rediscovery or self-rediscovery or self-discovery, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about children, because
mm-hmm.
you know, as I stated before, you know, a part of my practice, of course, is dealing with custody issues, child support issues. But you know, as you know, oftentimes when people go through a divorce, there are also children involved.
Mm-hmm.
So what about people that have children, and like for instance, the now people are divorced, they don't get along
mm-hmm.
with the former spouse. How would you encourage people to deal with a situation where they don't necessarily get along with the former spouse, but their children involved? That's a very complex dynamic, I would imagine. So I know that's a very generalized question, but even from a general perspective, you know, in terms of maintaining some kind of stability for the children in that situation, how do you usually help clients do that? Does that make sense?
Okay, and I've seen a different, you know, variables of that. You know, I've seen where a certain parent might not have been emotionally invested to begin with, so the divorce now doesn't really change anything other than that person's presence not being there as often, you know, but for the kids, they weren't really emotionally connected to the parents, so it kind of was business as usual, you know, post-divorce.
Mm.
Now, if you're co-parenting and both parents were involved and will continue to be involved, and if at least one person is still dealing with anger and hurt, and I know this is tough, I don't want to speak in ideal terms here, but, you know, because sometimes people are still dealing with that anger, they're still dealing with that hurt, you know, and I want to say this, you know, I'm not saying to get over, to ignore your anger, to ignore your feelings of hurt, but you know, you want to provide the least discomfort as possible for children. And the reality is that there is going to be an adjustment for them. Things are different, you know. So depending on the age of your children, some parents can have a more direct conversation about what's happening and the change that's going to happen. But two, you know, even though the paperwork might have, you know, this is the parenting plan, you know, you get the kids every other weekend and or you get the kids 3 days out of five, whatever it is, this is all a new thing. And it's not going to look how it looks on paper overnight, you know. And I think that people kind of, in some ways, for the sake of the children, have to work. And this is for parents who are both invested and involved in the lives of their children, you know, really for the sake of the kids, working on being patient, because this is a new process. It, you know, both parents aren't in the house. Childcare looks different, you know. So if you're co-parenting and you're both parents are involved and one person or maybe both people are still angry, for the sake of the kids, you know, and doing what's in the best interest of the children, I think that people in these situations can to work on growing into some type of a mature communicative relationship with their exes. You know, it's
okay,
not
you said a mature
overnight. Some type of mature communicate.
Well,
you know, some
okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, meaning that, you know, being able to communicate about extracurricular activities, being able to communicate about, you know, who's doing pickup, who's doing drop off, you know, being able to communicate about health, you know, when one child is sick or, you know, things that will involve both parents that are impacting children in these situations. Because again, you know, if you have children with someone and you guys are both involved in your kid's life, just because you got divorced does not mean you do not have to deal with your ex anymore.
And that's
you know, you
point.
Guys will probably, right, you guys will probably both be at school plays, be at the school games together. And so at some point, and I know the anger and the hurt might still be there, which is why I think it's important to seek out therapy or seek out some type of a support to help you to deal with these things, because you're going to still have to deal with your ex. If you are involved in your children's life, your relationship with this person still goes on. And so working on some type of a mature communication, growing into that, you know, again, you just got divorced. It's not going to be perfect. And so I'm saying be patient, give each other the space they need, the boundaries, you know, but know that if you're involved in your kid's life, you're going to have to communicate. And do you want to communicate for the next 15 years angry and bitter, or, you know, because your life is going to go on, you know. So seeking out that therapy to help you to deal with your emotional, your anger and your hurt, so that you can get to that that good communicating relationship for the sake of your kids.
Okay. And we're almost out of time, but I want to talk really quickly about a couple of more things. And as we're talking about children, is there any advice you would give to parents on how to explain divorce to the children? And also in answering that, and how much do you tell the children?
Right. Right. You know, that it just really depends on that household. You know, of course, if you have babies in the home, you know, or, you know, kids who are probably under three, you know, there's really nothing at that age to explain. Now, as the, you know, as the kid is growing older, with the dynamic that's resulted from the divorce. So that kid might be the norm for that kid now, you know. Now, of course, when you have older kids, teenagers, I think It depends. You know, let's say there was infidelity that was the cause of the demise of the marriage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some parents might not want to tell their kids, oh, your mom, you know, cheated or your dad cheated, because they don't want to let that interfere the way that their children might view their parents, you know. Some parents might want to feel justified, you know, and to not feel at blame as to,
mm-hmm.
you know, why they don't want to feel at blame to, or as if they were the ones that caused the relationship or the family to be broken. So they might tell their children, oh, your mom cheated, your father cheated. Now, is that the best thing? I don't know. You know, it really depends on the family dynamic. Now, but you do want to be honest with the kids in terms of letting them know how structurally how things are going to be different. You know,
mm-hmm.
if one parent is not no longer going to be in the home, you want to talk about that. And some kids can handle things, some kids can't. And so gauging your own, I guess, mental health of the children as a result of this adjustment and seeing if they might need to get support themselves, you know, to cope with this adjustment. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes some kids, you know, they recognize that their parents are unhappy and they just want to see their parents happy, you know,
mm-hmm.
even if it means that they're no longer together. You know, they understand
mm-hmm.
that an involved parent will continue to be involved in their lives, you know, so...
Okay, and thank you so much for that, because we are almost out of time, and I know that we don't really have time. We're not going to really have time to delve into the self-care aspect, and hopefully we can have you on another time in the show, Carrie, to talk about this, to let our listeners know really, really quickly. You mentioned about allowing yourself to feel and having the opportunity for self-discovery and rediscovery. And I wanted to let our listeners know a part of that self-discovery and rediscovery can really be initially explored in Carrie Winchell's new book, which is absolutely amazing.
Oh.
It's a book of poetry and affirmations. And I have taken a look at this book, and it's a very, very quick read, but I am just kind of taking it just one page at a time, because it is important, at least I think, when it comes to affirmations, just to kind of read and explore affirmations every day. But the book is called For This Too Is Love. And if Carrie, if you want to talk real quick to the listeners about how they can find this book, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you can find the book. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You could go to your local bookstore and inquire about ordering the book. There on my website, CarrieWinchellLPC.com, when you log on to my website, there's a pop-up that can direct you to another website where you can directly purchase the book as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, listeners. And, of course, if you are interested in obtaining the service of the Law Office of Tisha Hillman, you can call us directly at 301-744-7996. You can also visit our website at www.tshillmanlaw.com. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us today, talking to our listeners about how to cope with a divorce. And we will see you next week at 10 a.m. on Just Us Talks with Tisha. Have a great week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.